see. They never wanted me. The curse is laid upon my race. Useless serpents, they bring disgrace. A man without a face. Time they pass again. It's so hard to tell where and when. Yeah, just do the best you can. The flames will burn away the waste. All the lies that they told erased. A man without face. A man without a 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 face.
Welcome, dear ladies and gentlemen, to the Rabbit Hole Radio Show with your host, David James. Welcome, dear kinswomen, dear kinsmen, all over the world, wherever you're listening. It's amazing that I would never have thought of I would really ever have a radio show, or that I would ever have friends all over the world, because I'm not able to travel because of... Who would want to travel to those countries at this point, right? And, but even if I could, who has that kind of money? So it's wonderful to know that I have dear brothers and sisters all around the world, whether in America or Australia, England, Germany, South Africa, etc., etc. We even have a dear sister in France, Elizabeth, I believe is her name, and she translated the Mystery of the Serpent into French, which was, I'm very grateful for that. That was a great service she provided to her people. If you're from a country, I'm trying to get this done in German now, because it's probably more important for the German people than anybody. But if you're from another country, it's only 19 pages long. If you could translate that from English to your language, you would be doing a great service to your people. And it really wouldn't take you that long. You know, there's a lot of people that are just spectators, and they just like to watch. They like to watch a train wreck or whatever it might be. Like Mr. Adams from the Adams family, he liked to watch a train wreck. And many of our people like to watch that too. But I'd like to see some people take some action. If you can help your people by translating this particular book, which is only 19 pages, by all means, will you do that for the kingdom, for your own brethren, and for your specific people in your specific language? Obviously, it needs to be done in Spanish. And maybe whatever language is spoken in South Africa, it needs to be done there as well. Obviously, France is set. If you do it, please let me know and please send me a copy so that I can keep these all together. Hopefully, we'll have the German translation soon. On another note, I received an update from our sister, our dear sister Linda, about her two children, and you know about Michael, that he had the operation. He is recovering and getting better, but he's on the medications. You know what that means. I've already prayed and have been praying and will continue to pray for Michael that those medications will not harm him in any form or fashion. Even if they're designed to harm him, that the Father will protect him and heal him completely. As they say, like it never happened. And also his sister Susan had an operation and she's healing slowly. So if you could keep them in your prayers, it would be a good service, a great service to our brethren, and a showing of love to someone you don't even know that's your brother and sister and my brother and sister. I also ask you to keep me in your prayers. I pray for all of Israel. And of course, you know that's not including any Jew at all. I pray for all of our brothers and sisters, and I think it's important that we all pray for Israel, all of Israel. I know that we're not going to all turn to the Father, but as many as can, let that be. May it be so. If you're teetering on the fence at this point, wait no longer. The time is ripe for the harvest. And you can see that the world is not worth anything, right? You can understand that the world is useless now. It's been destroyed by the Jews. Their greed and their ever wanting more and more and more has destroyed everything for everybody. And especially in the last 5 years where they have brought all these two-legged weapons to be against us. They've destroyed our culture. They've destroyed our countries. They've destroyed our morale. They've destroyed everything to where the world is now worthless. It always really was, but you can see that you best keep your eyes on the Father, and we best do that. And don't wait until your deathbed, because that's not going to, I've told you that before. If you think that you're going to live like a hellion and repent in the last minute, you got another thing coming. Repent now. There's a time coming when there will be no longer any room to repent. The door will be closed. Do you understand that? Don't wait until the door's closed. You'll be knocking, but nobody will answer you. They talk about doors of opportunity. Now, your opportunity, our opportunity is running out. Don't wait too long. Good things come to those that wait, but not those who hesitate. A very interesting saying, isn't it? Kind of weird. Well, my. I'm very amused at a certain backfire. I always pray that everything will backfire in the face of the Jews. And the Negroes of Black Lives Matter, all or whatever, they're white Negroes too there. And they turned against the Jews, which I love. This is a great backfire because a Jew created the movement, and the Jews support the movement, and the movement supports the money that goes to Black Lives Matter goes right into the Democratic Party. So the blacks don't even receive it anyway. It's very humorous. It's the same old Jew game that's been going on. They start the NAACP. The Jew creates the NAACP. Nothing goes to the Negro. It's just a little game. And it's the same game over and over. So in other words, it backfired on him. Now, these police that have bowed their knee to Baal, or supposedly bowed them to Black Lives Matter, they just killed a couple of them. You see, they don't understand the Negro, that the Negro is the kind of dog that bites the hand that feeds it. Because it doesn't have any understanding, it's not civil. You see, I've told you that the Jews created the civil rights movement. Many of you knew that anyway. But here's the irony. They bring uncivil people that aren't capable of living in civilized nations. I mean, you know, from uncivilized nations like Africa and so on and so forth, and, you know, where they're pooping in the streets and countries like that. And they're uncivil people. They're not well-bred. They're not equal. They're not the same as us. And they are have-nots for a reason, because they worship demons and false gods. And so the Jews bring these uncivilized warriors into our countries, and then they start a civil rights movement to defend the civil rights of these uncivil people. Do you see the irony there? You see, these people don't belong in civilization. They're not civilized. They're savages. They always have been savages. Oh, Dave, but I know one that's not a... Yeah, I know you do. Turn out the light when a group of them, when that fellow's in it with a group of his own. See what happens then. Okay. Let's get into our material. We'll go a little longer because of my spiel. How do you like that Jewish word? Well, you know, I had to let you know about some things, but I just think it's totally ironic that these dogs bite the hand that feeds them. The Jew feeds them our inheritance and feeds them our substance, and they bite the Jew's hand. I love it. I absolutely love it. And so now, by the way, I should finish this, that now Black Lives Matter, now that they've spoken against Israel, they're no good. I just love this. I love it. This week's news will have an article or two on that, and you're going to get a kick out of that. There are politicians that bowed their knee to Baal that now say Black Lives Matter is not good because, you know, but they're not mentioning it's because they said something about Israel. They're just all of a sudden no good. They were always no good. You know, people, I mentioned this yesterday on the Word of the Most High, I believe, that people mentioned to me, they say, well, our politicians need to know about, our politicians are satanically modified people that are doing the will of the devil and his offspring. They're not interested in knowing what you have to say to them. They're not interested in doing what's right for this country. They're only interested in the money that they get put in their accounts. And now that they're blackmailed, each one of them, they must obey. This all goes along with the protocols of the learned elders of Zion. So don't be fooled into thinking that there's some politician that if you get in touch with him, he's going to come to his senses and stand up. They would have already stood up. These people are traitors. And traitors, too. They've traded their soul to the Jew, to the sons of the devil, and to the devil himself, Baal. And they are able to be kings for a day, so to speak. They've got their money. They've got several houses. They've got police protection. And they don't care about you and I. They're not interested in America or saving America. And Mr. T. Rump, who's a Scottish Jew, is not Freemason as well, is not interested in making America great again. I am shocked that nobody wrote about what our brother told us about what MAGA means, that it means witch. And it's witchcraft. Sorcery. Nobody wrote and said, wow, that's amazing. Nobody wrote when he wrote about the poem that Donald Trump, or the song lyrics that he was, when he was campaigning for president, it was called The Snake. Nobody wrote about it. I don't know if people are hearing my shows. I don't know if they're coherent. I really don't know. I mean, I'm not trying to say anything bad to you. I'm just trying to say, I really wonder. Are you catching all the things that are being said on these shows? Is this just entertainment for you? I'm just curious. That's okay if it is for you, if that's the way you want it. But these shows are meant to encourage you, equip you, and embolden you. It's really not entertainment. So I hope that you're getting the most out of the shows. I hope that you will support my work and help me to stay in this sphere to be able to do this and to be able to bring these shows forward. I hope you'll consider, if you've never helped me before, to send me something. It won't hurt you to give a donation. See, a lot of people don't realize that when they give a donation, they are making it possible for them to be blessed. It's an opportunity to be blessed. But what's more important, blessing somebody or getting a blessing? Are you doing it to get a blessing, or are you doing it to be a blessing? Do you support the truth? Let me give you a little information here. Stefan Molyneux, or whatever his name is, he's a Jew. They threw him off YouTube for God knows what reason. He's a Jew. He's a pretend truther. Now, just get the magnitude of what I'm telling you right now. When he got kicked off of YouTube last week, or whenever that was, within a short period ago, he got $100,000 in cryptocurrency donated to him. Yes, I'm silent. I'm telling you the truth. I'm trying to help you. I don't expect to get any $100,000. But do you see what I'm trying to say to you? You see how the money gravitates right to the Jew? $100,000, and it's probably more than that by now. $100,000. For being a Jew liar that pretends to be a truther? You see, ladies and gentlemen, our people will support any Jew that comes down the track that tricks them into believing they're telling the truth, and maybe they tell the truth about a few things, and lo and behold, voila. You have somebody like myself that tells the truth. And of course, you know, there's women. I was talking to a sister, and she said there's women that talk on Facebook that say, oh, I don't listen to David James shows because he said something about women before. I mean, to me, how sad it is that I love our women, And I've tried to explain it to them. If I ever say anything about women, it's because I'm talking to the satanically modified women. I'm not talking, if you're a woman of the Father and you love the truth and all that kind of stuff, if the shoe doesn't fit you, why are you trying to wear it? Why would you say that, oh, that applies to me? Are you feeling guilty about something, or what is the story with that? And so now you can't forgive me forever telling the truth about women. I mean, of course, I tell truth about our men. I tell truth about all kinds of people. I love our women. Our women are precious. But I do not love the satanically modified women that are in these protests, that are feminists, and so on and so forth. Should I, ladies? Should I love them? Should I not say anything about them? I mean, come on, get a grip, will you? There's a lot of ladies that listen to my show that know that I'm not talking about them when I really haven't said much about women for a while. There was a time period there where I was talking about some women and about women's things and so on and so forth. But I'm really not, I don't talk about women that often. I think I said what I needed to say, and that's it. And if I do need to say something else, of course I will. See, I've hurt a lot of people's feelings by telling them the truth. I thought you loved the truth. I really did. I thought you loved the truth. I think you'd rather listen to Stephen Molyneux or one of these Jew truth movements people that won't say anything about you and will just praise you. Is that what you're looking for? Tickling of the ears? Or are you looking for the truth? Because if you're looking for the truth, sometimes the truth hits all of us. Oh, no, it's not comfortable. But it's good for us. It helps to refine us. It helps us to take a look at ourselves and say, well, maybe that's true, or maybe it's not. Did you think when I was speaking about women that I was speaking about every woman? I mean, I don't understand. Praise the Father that there are women that listen to my show that know I'm not talking about them in the first place. As a matter of fact, they agree in many cases with what I've said about satanically modified women. Now, listen, there's satanically modified men too. That's these politicians. And I speak the truth about them too. I don't like satanically modified people. And we've all had some of that modification in some sort or another. And we're trying to deprogram that kind of thing, right? So first you have to say, well, geez, do I have this? Am I having problems because of this modification that the world has done upon my mind? And just like you'd want to heal your body, you'd want to heal yourself from being satanically modified, I would hope. And you'd want to take the measures to deprogram yourself by listening to the truth. Don't run away from the truth. Don't be mad at the deliverer of the message. Be glad that somebody cared enough about you to tell you the truth. If you think that I hate women, you're definitely way, way far off the base. You see, it's the same old thing. If I don't agree with what women do, then I must hate women. If I don't agree with what the Jews say, then I hate Jews. And if I don't agree with what the Negro says, then I must hate Negroes, right? See, it's all the same game. Don't play that game on me. You're not going to agree with everything that I say and do. You're not going to agree with everything that I think. And I'm not going to agree with everything you think. We're in different places. But I can understand. And I would expect you to understand as well. Don't play that game on me because I said something about women at some point that I hate women. That's a lie. I mean, how stupid do you think I really am? Seriously. I'm not the brightest fellow that you've ever heard or met, but I'm not that stupid. I've often said that if our woman would get on our team, we would be unbeatable. Enough of that for now. I just wanted to explain that. And so it's the same thing with the Italian people. When I talked about the Sicilians and the Italians, which are not Italians, many Italians got upset with me. But I wasn't talking about the Italians. I was talking about the Italians, the race-mixed Jew, Arab, Negro, Italians, Moors. You get it? So everybody wants to play that game. Oh, you told the truth about me. And of course, it includes every one of you. Well, the shoe didn't fit you. So why did you put it on? The shoe wasn't meant for you, Cinderella. Okay, we're in Eustace Mullen's book, The Curse of Canaan, and of course we'll go longer because of this. We're on page 25. We're learning a lot in this book. No, I don't agree with everything that Eustace says, but still, Eustace brings forth great information. As always, we must read between the lines. The Knights of the Teutonic Order built by the city of Riga in Latvia in 1201. They conquered Estonia in 1220. They conquered Prussia in 1293, establishing a military tradition which ended only after World War II. Although they were disbanded in 1809, the Teutonic Knights remained the inspiration of the German military establishment, which guided Germany through the two world wars. It was Hitler himself who wrote Fini, which means finish in French, to their proud traditions when he concluded the Molotov-Ribbentrop Pact in 1939. Not only did this pact cede the nations of Estonia, Latvia, and Lithuania, the ancient strongholds of the Teutonic Order, to the communists or Canaanites, but subsequently all of the great estates of the last heirs of the Prussian tradition, the last survivors of the Teutonic Order, fell into the hands of the onrushing Soviet hordes. By this time, the reader must be thoroughly confused. The quote-unquote Semites are really the quote-unquote anti-Semites. You know I don't use that term, but in this case, when he's talking about anti-Semites, he's using it properly. He's saying anti-whites. He says the Semites, the world think that the Jews are Semites, but they're not, are really the anti-Semites, the anti-white people or Canaanites. Okay? The heirs of the curse of Canaan, whose corrupt acts are dictated by the will of Canaan. The true Semites, listen, are the fair-haired warriors who built one great civilization after another, then how do we recognize these various forces in today's world? By their deeds ye shall know them. Those who are engaged in murderous conspiracies, those whose only loyalty is to secret international organizations, those who promote the use of drugs, bizarre sexual practices, and criminal undertakings, in short, those who continue the rebellion against God. Do we see that today, ladies and gentlemen? Do we see the rebellion against God and against the heavenly nations on earth, which are the Israelite nations, the United States, the Caucasian nations? Do we see the rebellion in our nation against God? Communism is against God, remember? When I read just weeks ago how communism is not compatible with God and communism is not compatible with religion. Remember? Those who remain true to Christ are the Semites. Despite great calamities and the sweep of powerful historical forces, the genetic pools of the original people of Shem, as well as those of the Canaanites, remain fairly consistent. How do we recognize the one group from the other? You should have no problem in looking about you and deciding who are the true descendants of Shem. Often fair-haired, fair-skinned, predominantly blue-eyed, healthy, creative, productive, proud, disdaining to engage in any dishonest activity, and always fiercely individualistic. These are the people who remain true to the tradition of the people of Shem. The Canaanites, on the other hand, are generally shorter. Remember? Shorter people? Like Dr. Fauci? Like Vladimir Putin? Like many of the world leaders like Boris Johnson? You see? And some people in Christian Identity, too. Oh, it's incredible. So, the Canaanites, on the other hand, are generally shorter, darker, more furtive, and almost always engage in some type of criminal activity, usually with special government approval or license. Roger equates license with anarchy. Interregnum. How do you say this? Interregnum. Mob rule. Mob law. That's democracy, ladies and gentlemen. That's Antifa. That's Black Lives Matter. Didn't I tell you that Cain mixed with the blacks too? Now we'll find out if that's true. But I believe you'll know them by their fruits, and they have the same fruits as the Jews. The Jews are a regressive race. Oh, you can make them do hygiene and you can get them to smile, and they're a lot more civilized than the blacks. But both races are regressive races, which tells me they're not of the Father. You see, every plant not planted by my heavenly Father shall be rooted up. That's what all these hybrids are. That's what all these Canaanites are. You see? Let's go back to this now. Roger equates license with anarchy, interregnum, mob rule, mob law, lynch law, nihilism. We will release the nihilists. Reign of violence. Are we seeing the reign of violence today in all of our countries? That's what democracy is. It's mob rules. Now, do you know why democracy is the vilest form of government? Do you know now why the Jews' favorite form of government and the form of government they have chosen to bring in the Jewish world domination? I was going to say denomination, which is kind of apropos in its own way, but neither here nor there. Now you know why democracy is being shoved down the rest of the world's throat, because that is the Jewish world domination thing. Of course, it goes along, you must have a central bank in each of these democracies to control and to put a tyranny on the people. This is what our soldiers are helping the Jews to do. This is what our demonically modified peoples in our country are helping to do. When you see women over in Sweden and in Germany with welcoming refugees, do you think that those are women of the Father? Or do you think that those are satanically modified women that are serving Baal? So, in other words, he says, the acts of the Canaanites, yet in the United States today, right? So let me just read this sentence so it all makes sense. Roger equates license with anarchy. Do we have anarchy now? We do. Interregnum, mob rule, mob law, lynch law, nihilism, reign of violence. In other words, the acts of the Canaanites. Yet in the United States today, we have imposed on the citizens requirements for license to do any of the things free men would not be licensed to do, to drive or own a car, to engage in a profession, and many other intrusions into the individuality of the people of Shem. License, quote unquote, which does not appear in the Constitution written by and for the people of Shem, means setting up requirements that only the Canaanites can meet, or license which only the secret clubs of the Canaanites will grant to their own. No others need apply. This is the cohesiveness required by the will of Canaan in everything they do, socialistic and communistic. The individual submerged in the mass and committed to conspiratorial social and business practices. They are also frequently involved in some sort of extracurricular sexual activity, which can be traced directly back to the orgies of Baal, human sacrifice, and obscene sexual rites. At the same time, these Jews, anti-Semites, or Canaanites, will go to great lengths to conceal their true identity and lead and their real loyalties. In their communities, they often are found to be the leaders in activities advertised as compassionate and caring. They are often to be found in government offices, in the media, and in the educational institutions. In these areas, they ruthlessly promote the interests of their own kind, while presenting a solid phalanx of opposition. Let's look this word phalanx. It sounds very phallic. Let's see what phalanx means. Okay, phalanx. That's phalanx. In ancient Greece, a group of heavily armed infantry formed in ranks and files, close and deep, with shields joined and long spears overlapping. Any body of troops in close array. A number of individuals, especially persons that are united for a common purpose. A compact or closely massed body of persons, animals, or things. Military, a radar-controlled U.S. Navy 20-millimeter gating-type gun deployed on ships as a last line of defense against anti-ship cruise missiles. So you could just say it's a team of people that work closely together. Warriors. So, in these areas, they ruthlessly promote the interests of their own kind while presenting a solid phalanx of opposition to any one of the individualistic descendants of Shem who enter these professions. The great asset of the Canaanites is that the people of Shem have no idea what is going on. They rarely find success in a profession despite their great natural talents and appetite for hard work. Throughout their careers, they are oppressed by the realization that luck never seems to favor them, while others find promotion almost automatic. Just like I was saying. There are people that support me, and there are a lot of people that aren't supporting me that should be. But Stefan Molyneux, he gets $100,000 in cryptocurrency in less than a week. You see, that's automatic promotion. The money just gravitates to the Jew. While I work hard and bring real truth, this fellow's a faker, a fake truth movement fellow, and within a week he's made $100,000. So let's continue. Amazing, isn't it? Throughout their careers, they are opposed by the realization that luck never seems to favor them, while others find promotion almost automatic. If they are members of their rivals, the Canaanites. Now time grows short. History will not allow the people of Shem additional centuries or even decades to come to their senses and realize what's going on. Just as they have been victims of massacre and genocide for centuries, the people of Shem now face the determination of the Canaanites to exterminate them utterly and finally, a goal which they hope to achieve by the end of this millennium. Ladies and gentlemen, that's worth thinking upon. You have seen, you know that we're being genocided now. And two-thirds of our race, a lot of our people don't even know that two-thirds of our race have been wiped off this planet in the last 150 years. So is Eustace telling you the truth here? And you are well aware that we're being genocided right now, right? I mean, if you don't recognize that, there's not much hope for you. So we've reached chapter 2, ladies and gentlemen. The transgression of Cain. Not as Cain, who was of the evil one. This is 1 John 3:12. Not as Cain, who was the evil one and killed his brother, is actually his half-brother. And wherefore did he kill him? Because his own works were wicked and his brother's just. The transgression of Cain, the first murderer, is of remarkable significance in tracing the development of occult organizations in history. The Hebrew word for Cain is Cajun, from coon. Now, these are with K's now. Cajun, K, you see, we use the word Cajun with a C, and it's usually U-N. And coon, which is K-O-O-N, to chant. So the Hebrew word for Cain is Cajun and coon, to chant, and from which we derive the slang terms the persons of mixed race, Cajuns and coons. Oh, wow. From Cain descended Tubal Cain, whose name is used as the secret password of Freemasonry. Tubal Cain was the son of Lamech, the brother to Noah, but he was born of a bigamous marriage. Tubal Cain became a blacksmith, and he later became renowned as the father of witchcraft and sorcery. Hello? His father, Lamech, was the son of Methuselah of the line of Cain. Remember that these aren't in the line of Adam. We might suppose that the two sons of Adam, Cain and Abel, Cain wasn't the son of Adam. But that's what he says in this sentence. Let's let him finish it. We might suppose that the two sons of Adam, Cain and Abel, having the whole world before them, would have little cause for discord. But Cain, being of the evil one, okay, sought a quarrel with his brother. The Bible recounts that they made offerings to God or to Yahweh, and that Yahweh accepted the offering from Abel, but rejected the offering of Cain because he was unworthy. That is, he was of the serpent. Cain overcome by wrath and jealousy, then slew Abel. Let me stop right there. Now, I said that this product, Cain, was the offspring of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. A corrupted tree. And that no evil tree can bring forth good fruit, and no good tree can bring forth evil fruit, so to speak. You see, this fellow couldn't even bring good fruits to the offering, is what I had discovered several years ago in my shows. It blew my mind. See, a corrupt tree cannot bring forth good fruit. Well, Cain is a corrupt tree. He's an offspring from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, the angel in the garden. And he couldn't bring forth good fruit in any form or fashion. He brought the second fruits to Yahweh, the creator of these fruits, like as if Yahweh wouldn't know what the first fruits would look like. In other words, he didn't care about his offering. He just went through the, you know, motions, let's say, right? So again, like I've proven to you over and over, and I will prove it again here, the beasts of the field that are hybrids like Cain, like Jews, like Negroes, like all of them, they lose control of their feelings very quickly, and they ascribe to violence and murder very quickly. Correct? Like we see now? See, that's what happened. It said, Cain, overcome by wrath and jealousy, then slew Abel. You see, he couldn't control his feelings because he was corrupt and in chaos, and then proceeded the judgment. Like I told you, the Father gave me that equation. Corruption leads to chaos, and chaos leads to judgment. This is exactly what happened to Cain. He was a corruption. He was a corrupt tree that could not bring forth good fruit. And then when he became overwhelmed with his feelings of jealousy and anger because his brother was favored over him, his half-brother, he became angry and killed his brother. And that's exactly what the Canaanites do to us today. They're angry with us because we're white and they're not. They're angry with us because we are haves and they don't have. We have a covenant with the Heavenly Father and they don't. We have blessings because of this covenant and because of obedience, well, usually, and they don't. And they're jealous of us, and they're angry that they can't have a covenant, that they can't be us. And so they want to kill us. Does this make sense to you? Do you need to prove what I just said? Of course not. It's proven right now. Who tells you these truths, ladies and gentlemen? Does Stephen Molyneux tell you these truths? Huh? The Jew is doing everything he can to hide this little anomaly. You see? Because the devil uses weapons with feelings. He uses women who are not in control of their feelings. He uses men who are not in control of their feelings. But usually it's hybrids that lose control of their feelings on the drop of a dime or a look. The Jew doesn't want us to know that just like all the rest of the beasts of the field, they lose control of themselves at the drop of a dime as well. Because they're hybrids, because they are not purebreds. They are corrupt, they're in chaos because they don't know who they are of. Corruption causes chaos, and all these feelings that they have causes them to do things to bring forth judgment on others and themselves. The Jew doesn't want you to know that. They want you to think that you are equal with all these people. We're not equal with them. We're above them because we have a covenant. Because the covenant is that we have the law of the Father written in our hearts. I just did this teaching on the Word of the Most High, the 30th show in the Apostle Paul series, and I showed you the new covenant and who the new covenant is with. And it's not with any new people other than the sheep of the house of Israel, period. There's no people added into the new covenant. This is the problem. We have the covenant. It's not our problem we have the covenant. It's their problem. They're angry. They're jealous. And they hate us for it. And they wish they could replace us and be us. Make no mistake, they all wish they could be white. They all wish they could be Shem. But they can't. because you can't be grafted in. So, let's continue. The Midrash gives a somewhat more extended version that Cain persuaded Abel that they should divide the world between them. Cain would get all the land, and Abel would have all the chattels thereon. Geez, you can tell who Cain is of, can't you? What's worth more, the land or the chattels? Anyway, Cain then informed them. Remember, I read this to you about how he's going to explain it right here. Cain then informed Abel that he was standing on his land and that he should remove himself. Abel retorted that Cain was wearing clothes of animal skins, which belonged to Abel. They fought and Cain slew Abel. You see, Cain was a thief as well. He was stealing these skins and not asking permission. You see? God then banished, or Yahweh then banished Cain, eastward of Eden, in the land of Nod. He wedded a woman of pre-Adamic stock. In other words, he race mixed again, and so he's already a hybrid, and now he's mixing with another race, which now furthers his hybrid nature. So he wedded a woman of pre-Adamic stock, and thus compounded his fault. Genesis 4:17 says, see, but let me just stop here, you see. What Cain did, the Jews are trying to cover it up and say, well, race doesn't matter. The Apostle Paul said, oh, race doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if you're a Chinaman. It doesn't matter if you're a Satanist. It doesn't matter anything. You can be grafted right in and become of the seed of Abraham and become a spiritual Israelite. No, you can't. You see, the Jews are desperate. They're trying, this is a last-ditch effort to try to demonize race and everything to do with it. That's why they took many of these things out of the scriptures. That's why the devil and the Apostle Paul planned this gospel that Paul calls his gospel. Because it negates race. It negates the bloodline. It negates anything to do with the flesh. And yet the spirit is put in the flesh, isn't it? Yes. So the flesh is necessary for the spirit to dwell in, correct? But the Apostle Paul says the flesh doesn't mean anything at all, and bloodlines don't mean anything at all. The trickery of this whole thing, ladies and gentlemen, is so simple to see, and I get it. Do you? I hope you do. You see, everything the Apostle Paul's gospel does is negate anything to do with race or pure bloodlines. This is just what the Jews and the devil want. This is what the Jews are trying to do today, saying, oh, it doesn't matter what you are. As long as you say that prayer and believe and have faith in Jesus Christ, you're in. No matter what color, no matter how evil, you're a communist, whatever you are, you're in. Race does not matter. Don't look at a man by his race or his color. You better start looking at a man. Well, they're not men, but you better start looking at these creatures by their race and their color, etc., etc. You better, and their religion as well. Their religions are evil, with demon gods and all kinds of things. You better look and judge a man by his race and his religion and his color. You better. But the Jew says, don't you do that. No, that doesn't mean anything. Don't judge a book by its cover. Even if you see that this book is evil, don't worry about it. Don't judge it by its cover. We're all the same. We're all equal. Oh, yes, sure we are. If we were all equal, then why do the haves have not? I mean, why do the have-nots have not? Why do they need to come to the haves nations? Why don't they have themselves if they're equal? You see, none of this works, ladies and gentlemen. It's pure bunk. It's pure crapola. So, I'm going to read this again. He wedded a woman of pre-Adamic stock and thus compounded his fault. Genesis 4:17 says, Cain knew, that is, had relations with his wife, that Cain's wife was of forbidden or strange flesh, is borne out later in Jude 11. 11, get it? The 11 Dukes of Edom? Get it, Jude? Get it, Juden? 11? In referring to the men of Sodom and Gomorrah, woe unto them, for they have gone the way of Cain, that is, seeking after strange flesh. The pre-Adamites were referred to by the word, by the Hebrew word nakash, to hiss, as a serpent meaning negro. The Arab word kanas comes from this Hebrew word, kanas being C-H-A-N-A-S, as well as kanuz, K-H-A-N-O-O-S, or ape. And the Arab word for the devil is kanas. Thus, the mixing of races and the appearance of the devil in history are conjoined in the misdeeds of Cain. Cain is also reputed to have celebrated the first black mass or satanic mass on earth. Now, what we just read in this paragraph, did this not prove to us that Cain mixed with the blacks as well? Ladies and gentlemen, the Father reveals. I told you, I know what I'm talking about. It's not that I'm always right about everything. I don't know everything. I never will know everything. But I will tell you that there's things that I'm sure of because I know them by their fruits. All I have to do is see. See, I don't listen to what they say all the time. I watch what they do. The name of Cain survives today in Freemasonry in two forms, which are integral to the most crucial tenets of this association. First of all, murder, the threat of murder, and the constant reactment of murder are basics to the most important Masonic rituals. Now, I get a kick out of one of our brothers told me that, well, I don't even know if it was one of our brothers, but he said, some guy came on my video and said, don't you know that Eustace Mullins was a Freemason? Now, this is ridiculous. He's exposed more about Freemasonry than many people out there. And that doesn't mean he couldn't have been, but he certainly wasn't a Freemason. And the fellow had no proof of that either. But you see, that's just the way it is. So, the enactment of murder are basic to the most important Masonic rituals, as Stephen King pointed out in his book, The Brotherhood, quote unquote, shortly before his untimely death. Now, I find it interesting. This is a different Stephen King than the one, the Jew, that you have been told about, or we have been told about, that works in Hollywood. So, obviously, this Stephen King is to blot out the other one. I suppose we'll have to find out who this other Stephen King is. Very, very interesting. So, thus a direct link to the first murderer, Cain, is established by these rituals of Freemasonry. The importance of the Cain legend to Freemasonry is also revealed by the fact that Cain slew his brother. In Freemasonry, if you are asked to act against your own brother in behalf of a fellow Mason, you must do so under pain of death. There have been many instances where a man who was pursuing a lawsuit against a Mason was astounded to have his own brother, who would be a Mason, come into court and commit perjury against him to help his brother Mason. This custom also survives in other organizations, which may be related to Freemasonry. In La Cosa Nostra, you know, the Mafia, leaders often request a member to murder a close relative upon whom the death sentence has been passed as the ultimate test of his loyalty. Let me stop right there and bring this to a higher level. We have dual citizens in our country, which are mainly Israeli Jews. Only it's the opposite for them. They pretend that their brother and they're the best ally of their brother, the United States, but they always go against him. You see how that works? See, because La Cosa Nostra is the Sicilian mafia, the Italians, not Italians, Italians. I use that term because Archie used that term, and I think it's convenient to understand the difference between the real and the false. The real is the Italian, the false is these race-mixed Italians. They betray each other with a kiss, in case you don't know that. Where did they learn such things? Why, from Judas. That's who. There again, the Edomite Jew Judas betrays. He has been done, again, this is amazing because I always say this and I prove it over and over. The beast of the field is blessed by the Adamite, and in return, the beast of the field will curse the Adamite. Well, it's the same way with Jesus. He blessed Judas, made him a disciple. And what did Judas do in return? You get it? How come all the beasts or the have-nots become blessed by the seed of Abraham, which Jesus is of the seed of Abraham, and no Jew is? How come all that have been blessed, all the nations of the world that have been blessed by the seed of Abraham, how come they turn against him and curse the seed of Abraham, which is Shem, which is us? All three brothers are white. Noah's children, Noah had white children. The father made sure that his lineage was perfect for a reason. You don't think he was going to let that change? It was the only last hope for our race at that point. So, the name of Cain also survives in a second important element of Freemasonry. The secret password of Freemasonry is Tubal Cain. Heckelthorne, Secret Societies, page 26. Tubal Cain, a descendant of Cain, was the son of Lamech, father of Noah, who had two wives, Ada and Zillah. Zillah, Godzilla. I just thought of that. Get it? Zillah bore Tubal Cain. Get it? Godzilla? Now? Wow, I never realized that. Wow. Zillah bore Tubal Cain. He was the forger of all instruments of bronze and iron. The sister of Tubal Cain was Nama. Remember she's an evil witch? Nama revelries in with her blood relative, I Lam, resulted in the curse of Canaan. She also is recorded as the person who brought human sacrifice and cannibalism into the world. Remember, cannibalism, Cain or Canaanite and Baal-ism. Tubal Cain, grandson of Methuselah by Lamech, was of the line of Cain, hence his name. He is known as the father of witchcraft and sorcery, hence his importance to Freemasonry in their use of his name as their password. Now, I told you about this movie that I had seen when I was in insurance. And there was a Freemason who was presenting this movie to us. It's a movie with Nick Nolte, I believe, as the devil, and this Jewish athlete that got his leg broken and he came back and he won. He was the rings. You know the rings that hang down and they do all these flips and all that kind of stuff? Well, right at the end of the movie, it showed the rings hanging down and a cane put on the top of the two rings, you know, in the middle of them. Two ball cane, two balls and a cane. The generative principle. 007 is the same thing. Two balls and a cane. Two ball cane. Do you see? Yes, that's what it is. Ham's descendant by the Negro Cush, Nimrod, son of Cush, became the world's most demonic ruler and the first ruler of the world. He used his power to indulge in sex orgies and child sacrifices until Shem beheaded him for his offenses against God. Shem cut his body into pieces and sent these glory relics to the priests as a warning to cease and desist their vile practices of demon worship. Instead, the priests hid the pieces, revering them as objects of worship, concealing them in their groves and shrines, the Shriners, as the first mysteries. The secret of the relics, or mystery, was made known to initiates only after a long period of indoctrination when they could be trusted not to betray the worshippers of Baal. This was the true origin of the mysteries, from which, as Albert Pike notes in Morals and Dogma, all Masonic rites originate from those mysteries. Now, I told you that Esau is the one. I guess you could say Esau was Shem. So maybe that's what he's meaning by this. But this is an old thing where I think he talks about this somewhere here or whatever, but the body was cut up in pieces and then Isis went around trying to recover the pieces to put him back together. This is like Humpty Dumpty in a sense. But she could not find the phallic member, which was eaten by fishes. I believe somewhere here he says that it was eaten by a crab. So she made his phallus out of wood. This is what the obelisk is. It's the penis of Osiris. It's the penis of Nimrod, whichever you want to call it. I doubt seriously that Nimrod was a black man because I don't believe the white people would even stand for that for a moment. I think that he's a little mixed up in his stuff here, but he's generally right in the area. Satanic practices throughout the world can be traced in an unbroken line directly back to Gnosticism from Gnosis or knowing. Remember what we learned from Maurice Pinet's book, that the Jews are the ones that were always mixing Gnosticism with Christianity, mystic Christianity, etc., etc. Remember, I'm just jogging your memory right now. We learned all those things. So, Gnosis refers to knowing the secrets of the mysteries. That is the place where relics are hidden. The pieces of Nimrod's body, the G, which is the prominently featured in Masonic symbols, indicates not only its origins in Gnosticism, but also generation, like the generative principle. They say it also means God. They also say it means stands for gematria. It also stands for six, because a G is a typified six. And so on and so on. That's me speaking. So anyway, the G is also featured. Well, let me go back a little bit. The G, which is prominently featured in Masonic symbols, indicates not only its origins in Gnosticism, but also generation, quote unquote, that is. The fertility rites of the sex cult of Baal and Ashtoreth. This G is also featured in the logo of the Gannett chain. a group which is rapidly swallowing up newspapers and television stations all over America, as well as publishing the newspaper USA Today, which loses over $100 million a year. This is considered a small price to pay for controlling the minds of the American people. I hope you're listening. I hope you're listening. The fate of Nimrod also survives the myth as Osiris and his sister Isis. Osiris, another name for the Canaanite god Baal. Are you listening? The green man he's also called too. And also the green man is Hare Krishna, according to Masonic books. So, Osiris, another name for the Canaanite god Baal, and his consort Ashtoreth or Isis, whose rites the Canaanites brought into Egypt, were worshipped as fertility gods. The Egyptian legend that Osiris's brother Set, or Shem, dissected him into 14 pieces. Isis gathered up the pieces, but the most important part, the phallus, was missing. The legend say, here it is. The legend says that a crab had eaten it. Isis made a substitute phallus out of wood and thus restored her brother. In other words, Humpty Dumpty fell off the wall. Humpty Dumpty had a great fall. All the king's horses and all the king's men couldn't put Humpty Dumpty back together again. It's the same principle. She put Humpty Dumpty back together. Because of its origins in the temples of Baal, which were dedicated to both male and female prostitution, Freemasonry has been the unseen force. The force. The force be with you, see? The force is faith, in case you don't know it. See, faith doesn't have to be of God or of Jesus Christ. You can have faith as a force of evil. It's a spiritual force, says Kenneth Copeland. But he didn't say what spirit it comes from. So when you see a demon like Yoda telling the young Luke Skywalker to may the force be with you, you now understand. What was he trying to do? He was trying to lift the ship out of the water by his faith. Just like walking on water, correct? Only in this case, the demon was Jesus. You see what I'm saying? Not the real Jesus, of course. So, Albert Pike makes this plain in his authoritative book, Morals and Dogma, page 849. Reversing the letters of the ineffable name and dividing it, it becomes bisexual. I had somebody say, don't you know that Yahweh, this was that Jew from Florida, that fake preacher down there from Florida. He says, don't you know that the name of Yahweh, that Yahweh is a deity that's both male and female? Well, wait a minute now. No, he's not. The letters were reversed here. Listen, reversing the letters of the ineffable name, hello, and dividing it, it becomes bisexual. This is pure Kabbalism and is referred directly to the cult of Baal and Ashtoreth. Pike makes the point clearer on page 741. Masonry is a search after light. That search leads us directly back, as you see, to the Kabbalah. All truly dogmatic religions have issued from the Kabbalah and returned to it. Now, you see, Judeo-Christianity is the Jewish version of Christianity, just like the Lodge is all derived from the Kabbalah. That's why I told you that all of the religions of the world have the devil as their god. The Pope admitted it. I keep pointing this out. He said that Lucifer is God. They did this in a ceremony on 4K television. They sang in Latin because they didn't want people to know what was going on. And they said that Lucifer is God and that Jesus is his son. So, that search leads us directly back, as you see, to the Kabbalah. All truly dogmatic religions have issued from the Kabbalah and returned to it. Every grand everything grand in the religious dreams of the Illuminati, Jacob Bohm, Swedenborg, St. Martin, and others, is borrowed from the Kabbalah. All the Masonic associations owe it to their secrets and symbols. This is the most definitive revelation of the true origins and purposes of Freemasonry. Originating in the Kabbalah, it accomplishes its devious purposes through even more secret organizations of the Illuminati, the inner circle which controls the 6 million Freemasons of the world. 6 million again. Incredible. From their inception, the mysteries, quote unquote, were always bisexual. Rather, they sought to indulge any passion into their dedication to pleasure, which meant constantly seeking after new and perhaps more exciting sensations. Our modern psychologists, which were given to us by Jews, and are mostly Jews, explain these diversions as the alternative lifestyle. The symbol of the obscene rites is the delta, or triangle. The large pornography collection at the Library of Congress is called the Delta Collection. Each card in the catalog listing I book in this collection has, I think he means in the listing the first book in this collection, has the symbolic triangle in the upper left-hand corner. The Delta represents the triune circles of eternity, the Hebrew Yod, the double delta, or six-pointed symbol of Judaism. Hello? It represents the male triangle supreme over the female triangle below and penetrating her. Let me stop right there. Didn't I tell you that the triangle going up was the lingam, the phallus, and that the triangle going down was the yoni, the female? The sons of God and the daughters of men, the unholy union that produced Cain and the giants later. Remember the point in the circle? The point is the obelisk coming through the pool of water, the male and the male and the female. The circle is the female. The point is the male. It also represents, the point also represents the sun, and the circle is the universe. It's all the sons of God and the daughters of men, ladies and gentlemen. The unholy union that produced the God offchild, offspring. Unbelievable. The double delta, or six-pointed symbol of Judaism, represents the male triangle supreme over the female triangle below and penetrating her. The inverted T-dangle in the rite of Kadosh, Freemasonry, represents Lucifer as the Grand Patriarch and Grand Emperor. This triangle comprises the indivisible Trinity, to which the Kadosh takes the oath of blind obedience. The Delta is also the symbol of the chapter in Royal Arch Masonry, or Arc Masonry. This triangle represents the indivisible Masonry. The Delta, or Triad, now is featured as the new symbol of hundreds of American business organizations, perhaps as a notice to the elect that this business is now part of the Masonic Empire. The present writer has many pages which researchers have gathered showing the predominance of this symbol in American business. You wonder why they're turning against the people of Shem? Huh? The triads are also the name of the ancient Chinese underworld gangs. Yeah, I told you about that before. For whom murder is a customary method of doing business. Throughout the world, the triad has become the symbol of the international business conspiracies. When Khashoggi, the munitions dealer whose arms dealings resulted in the 1980s Iran scandals, formed an American branch of his operations, he called it Triad America. Also symbolically, it has now gone into bankruptcy after inveigling many Americans into multi-million dollar deals in many areas. Now, funny how they just killed a journalist named Khashoggi, and that will just wipe out this other Khashoggi. You get it? Coverings. They're always trying to cover something up. Like changing, I've taught you this before, that changing the name of the Kabbalah. They spell it about 8 different ways. Or the Zohar was the Sohar. So they change it to the Zohar, and you're looking for the Zohar. You're not looking for the Sohar. You see? It's a way of covering the past. So, Captain William Morgan, who was murdered for having written of the Masonic rituals, and thereby gave rise to the anti-Masonic party in America during the 19th century, noted in his historic book, Freemasonry Exposed, that when a fellow craft mason was asked in interrogatory has since become prime technique of lawyers, like interrogation, right? In their manipulation of a bill of attainder proceeding known as to us as discovery. What was his work? He answered that he worked at a building, at building King Solomon's temple. Let me just kind of straighten this out. In their manipulation of a bill of attainder proceeding known as discovery, what was his work? He answered that he worked at building King Solomon's temple. What does a master's lodge represent? The sanctum sanctorum, or holy of holies, King Solomon's temple. Albert Mackey's Encyclopedia of Freemasonry lists under Orient, the place where a lodge is situated is sometimes called its Orient, like orientation, but more properly, its East. The seat of a grand lodge has also sometimes been called its Grand Orient, but here Grand East would perhaps be better. The term Grand Orient has been used to designate certain of the supreme bodies on the continent of Europe and also in South America as the Grand Orient of France, the Grand Orient of Brazil, the Grand Orient of Portugal, and the Grand Orient of New Granada, etc. The title always has reference to the East as the place of honor in Masonry. The reverence for the East throughout Grand Orient Freemasonry is revealed by their activities in Western civilization. They have consistently worked to impose Oriental despotism on the citizens of Western republics through totalitarian government apparatuses. It says Oriental despotism has become especially predominant in all of our legal proceedings. The court, quote-unquote, where the despot rules. The symbolic bow, or standing, when the despot comes into the room. And the refusal of the despot to brook any questioning of his decision by a citizen, who can approach the judge only through an anointed priesthood, the legal profession, the priesthood of Baal, which also the judge is the priesthood of Baal. Are you hearing this? Some Americans optimistically decide to come out, to come into court representing themselves, which the people of Shem provided for specifically in their Constitution of the United States. But judges usually give such attorneys, pro se, quote unquote, short shrift. In states such as Virginia, where Masonic power rules the courts, judges have been known to boast that no attorney pro se will ever get a favorable decision in their court. A non-Mason who enters an American court today is placing himself in the mercy of the Oriental despot. Hence the tyrannical actions of judges in sentencing to indeterminate prison sentences anyone who happens to displease them or whose property is coveted by a Mason. I hope you're listening. This Oriental type of despotism can be traced back to Zoroaster in Persia, to Ishtar and Tammuz in Babylon. See, Tammuz is the son of Nimrod. He was declared to be a god. Tammuz was not a great hunter like Nimrod, and Tamuz was 40 years old when he was killed by a wild boar when he was out hunting. This is what the 40 days of Lent is about. Lamenting the death of Tamuz. Tamuz, you could say. I call him Tamuz, they call him Tamuz, whatever. So this Oriental type of despotism can be traced back to Zoroaster in Persia, to Ishtar and Tammuz in Babylon, to the Greco-Thracian mysteries at Eleusis, the mysteries of Demeter, Persephone, and Dionysus, to Sibyl and Altus in Phrygia, to the Aphrodite and Adonis in Syria, to Isis and Osiris in Egypt, and to Mithra in Persia. These mystery cults were formally combined into much of the text of the Babylonian Talmud, a book, it's really a set of books, of religious precepts, which had been formulated after the fall of Jerusalem in 586 BC. Nebuchadnezzar took his people to Babylon as captives, took this people of to Babylon as captives from 586 to 537 BC, after which Cyrus of Persia captured Babylon and authorized the return to Jerusalem. During the Babylonian captivity, there was a free admixture of the various Canaanite tribes. The Edomites intermarried, listen, the Edomites intermarried with the Canaanite branch of the Judahites and Shares. Edom means red. Ever since the captivity, red has meant revolution and Canaanite massacre to the innocents. The Rothschilds, when they backed the formation of the Illuminati, changed their name from Bauer, which means farmer in German, to Roth, Red Child, Shield. You see, the Jews always like to pretend they're farmers. So by having the name Farmer, that might have said to somebody, oh, well, they must be white men because they're farmers. Yes, no, that's not the way it is. This intermixture of various strains caused a great deal of confusion among the offspring as to who their heirs and customs should be. You see, again, they're corrupt and they're in chaos. They don't know who they are. So we see that while we were captive and some of the Jews were there with us in Babylon, there were Edomites and all sorts of things going on back in our land. That's why they didn't go back to Jerusalem. They went to Judea, which was actually in the territory of Benjamin. Even though Benjamin and Judah lived in the same area, this was not, Judea was not Jerusalem. So, this intermixture of various strains caused a great deal of confusion among the offspring as to what their customs should be. To resolve this difficulty, the captives began to compile a great book of religious teachings. Talmud means teaching in Hebrew. By the 2nd century AD, the Talmud had been completed as oral law. The Mishnah, or older part, and the Gemara, or commentary on the law. It first appeared in print in 1520 when Daniel Bomberg published it in Venice. I'll just finish this little, we'll just stop right there because we're way over time. We're on page 31. And this was an extra, little bit of show here. But I'll tell you, the more we're learning, the more these pieces get put together and the more these dots get connected and the more we see that things are confirmed that we already knew. So we're learning new things, but we're also re-learning things that are being reconfirmed to us. Praise be to the Father in heaven. You know, at the end of the Rabbit Hole Radio Show, I always give a great piece of advice. And that is, don't go down the wrong hole.
A man without a face.